we have Epaphroditus, just to finish on that, is very interesting. Paul refers to him in Philippians chapter 2, and he says in verse 25 of Philippians 2, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants or my necessities. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. He says, I sent him therefore." And it says in verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." That's a devotion. Near unto death. Who knows what he had to pass through? The trials, the storms, the difficulties to get to Paul, to bring ministry to him, to help him. That's love, in according to the truth.
Go ahead, Brother.
Yeah, so we move on, and we find that, and this is a great follow-on to a point that the email made, is that the idea of soul prospering isn't so that there would be some recognition of myself. Paul told Timothy, give yourself wholly to these things and your profiting is going to appear to everyone else. Our desire, our pursuit of the Lord, our desire to be fully embracing and involved with the Lord Jesus, who is the embodiment of truth, is that in and of itself a goal. And what we have in the next verse is that Gaius, who was in the good of that, there was a clear witness and testimony amongst the brethren about the fact that this was a true exponent or recipient, one in whom the truth dwelt. And I think there's a very valuable point here, a valuable observation. It's one thing to say that you know the truth, but it's another thing that the truth emanates out of one's life and experience that others can testify, that's a person who's been with Christ. That's a person who's been walking with Christ. He says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in it. They didn't testify about, you know, what he was doing. They testified of the reality of what was expressed by what he was doing. It was the truth. And so it's a real challenge, I think. It was a challenge to me when I was thinking about it, is, you know, we want commendation and we want recognition for the things that we do. But is what is emanating from us drawing men's attention to the truth, drawing men's attention to Christ himself?
So that when we link that with what we had earlier, the significance of not examining ourselves, which was well pointed out as that error, but Gaius is not doing this. Gaius, he is known because others have made him known. Paul does not write in verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when I got the letter from you describing how you walk in truth. For some of us, it might have been that way. We would write the letter describing how we're walking in the truth so that John would know. And maybe even for the purpose of encouraging ourselves or asking for counsel or whatever. But that's not how John knew of Gaius. And just to link it with verse 5, which we'll get to later, verses 5 and 6, that others also were the ones who told about his acts of service. He didn't make it known himself. He wasn't the one who said, here's what I'm doing towards fellow believers. It's that others bore witness of this. And so this shows us, too, that this is part of prospering, I think, in our souls. That we, in Proverbs chapter 27, it says, let someone else praise you, not your own mouth. And when our own mouths speak about I and we and what we are doing or what I am doing, it's a dissonant tone when we want to point others to Christ because we're drawing attention to ourselves. Gaius was this way. He used the physical life that he had here on earth to accomplish spiritual means, and he didn't mind that somebody else had to be the one to speak about it. He wasn't the one who who went speaking about it and saying about his faithfulness and about his generosity.
I like when the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 16, he took notice of Timothy. But there was something that was unique about him that is related to what we have before us. First of all, he was a disciple. But it's the second part. Well reported of the brethren. Well reported of the brethren. And I think there's a couple of lessons that I could gain from it. First of all, it's not to, before we were saying about prosperity of soul, is for me to put the spotlight under me. But also now to wait for people to tell you how wonderful you are. In both aspects, you are wrong. In both aspects, you miss the point. But dear brethren, there is one thing though, that there is a fruit of the way we live. The way we conduct ourselves relate the message. And that's the reality of it. Because the brethren can speak well, and we shouldn't speak ill of the brethren, but could speak well. So the first thing I want to suggest to the saints of God, that dear brethren, we cannot only be talkers about things. There is the aspect of that which comes out of what we are enjoying, that from within. And it will manifest itself before others. But that's not our business to be occupied with it. But also to give a good report of the brethren, to speak well of them. We are accustomed to see only sometimes the failures and just go after the brethren. But how wonderful when we stand back and say, wow, these are brethren that were willing to speak well of this man. And this is what we need to take notice of. Sometimes every time we speak well, it is speaking well of my ministry and of my word. And you know, it's good, dear brethren, to speak well of one another. And this is a man who enjoyed such a privilege that the saints of God were speaking well of him. And thank God for that, because again, another young man was Timothy that was well reported of the brethren.
And also we could learn one thing from the apostle, from John the elder in here, and from Gaius. John said, I joy exceedingly, because he heard how Gaius was holding the truth. Do we rejoice when we hear somebody going on for the Lord? Or do the spirit of envy comes in and I try to find, well, you just don't know the whole story. It is really important, and this is a sign of maturity. Sign of childish, really, is if somebody speak well about somebody else, I usually get bent out of shape. But if I am mature, I rejoice to see the people. Moses, when Joshua said, hold, there are two people are prophesying in the camp. Let me go and stop them. And Moses said, I wish all of the people of God are prophets. That maturity of realizing that it's wonderful. John said, he must increase and I must decrease. The attitude of putting others ahead. John, the older brother, was so happy to see somebody who was held, or he was going on for him. The other thing about the expression, really, about that, and I want to look at it in a different way in verse 3, that and bore testimony, those brethren who came, and bore testimony to thy truth. The holding fast is really in italic. So we could look at it as that he was holding fast the truth, but to thy truth. To thy reality. I think, Mark, you have touched on that. There was something real about when you saw Gaius, what you see is what you get. There was no putting up of a front. There was no acting. He was real. I'm comfortable with when I know somebody, even if I don't like what, I just know what I get. And Gaius was what was that way. We're living in a world where there is a mask on everybody's face. And everybody's trying to... No. Gaius was real, was true. He was the truth, by truth, by thy truth, by thy truth. You were real. Integrity and reality ought to characterize every believer. Otherwise, it's just talk. And somebody could talk better than others. But here is something. Because before he speak about him walking in truth, he's spoken about thy truth, thy reality, thy true. You are real, Gaius. And I'm rejoicing to see that you are not fake.